Okay, we're going to call to order the Security Committee meeting. Could we have a roll call?
Chair McMichael?
Here.
Vice Chair Geddes?
Here.
Regent Boylan? Regent Brooks?
Here.
Regent Moran? Regent Tarkanian?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. We'll go to agenda item one, which is public comment. Any public comment from Elko?
Thank you.
There's none in Elko.
Any public comment from Reno?
There's none in Reno, Mr. Chair.
Any public comment in Las Vegas?
This is Joe Reynolds. Yes, there is Chair McMichael.
All right.
No. No public comment? Oh. No public comment in Las Vegas.
None? Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to agenda item number two, motion to approve the minutes from March 5th, 2021.
I'll make the motion to approve.
I second.
Okay, we have a second. Any objections? Extensions? None? Can we go ahead and have a yes, let's have a roll call vote on that.
Vice Chair Geddes?
Aye.
Regent Boylan? Regent Boylan? Regent Boylan, was that an aye?
Regent Boylan, we're having difficulty hearing you. If that was an aye, I could recommend you give a thumbs up.
Regent Brooks?
Yes.
Regent Moran? Regent Tarkanian?
Aye.
Chair McMichael?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, we'll move on to agenda item three, Chair's report. This is information only. I would like to appreciate the appearance and help that the directors have provided for the meeting here today. I'm looking forward to the updates from the last meeting, and I would appreciate any additional information on our canine members that have contributed to the security. Thank you. And we'll move on to agenda item number four, NSHE Southern Command, and this is information only. We'll have Director Garcia to give the presentation on the updates.
Good morning, Chair McMichael, committee members, Chancellor Rose, and presidents. For the record, my name is Adam Garcia, Vice President for Public Safety Services and Director, University Police Services, Southern Command. Over the next several minutes, I will provide you with an update on public safety activities that have taken place since our last update. And first of all, let me apologize. We created a video as well as a PowerPoint, and somehow I lost it in the virtual world, so you're just going to have to put up with my boring comments. Since we last met, University Police Services has moved on a number of different fronts. We have established a University Police Services Public Safety Advisory Board. The board consists of representatives from all over Southern Nevada institutions, together with the students, community, campus leaders, organizations, and other stakeholders. The Public Safety Advisory Board provides recommendations to the department. And specifically, the board helps us, number one, support a community-based public safety approach that fosters a communicative relationship between students, staff, faculty, visitors, community partners, regional agencies, and the police department. It supports a commitment to campus empowerment and inclusivity, fosters and enhances relationships and communication channels between campus communities and University Police Services. It solicits stakeholder input on matters pertaining to public safety ideas, issues, and concerns. The advisory board also evaluates campus needs and makes recommendations that elevate evidence-based, trauma-informed public safety, crime prevention, harm reduction, and damage mitigation services. The board supports transparency and promotes awareness of public safety programs, advises and makes recommendations to me, the director, concerning the delivery of police services, while also recognizing that the director is ultimately responsible for all operational decisions that are related to our operations in police services. The board's representatives include student leaders, classified employees, administrative faculty, academic faculty, University Police Services, and the director. The board's specific geographic focus areas include all higher education campuses, UNLV, Nevada State College, DRI, and CSN. The Police Advisory Board, with the support of each Southern Nevada institution president, is committed to strategic and intentional actions to address campus community safety. Our campus constituents are encouraged to get involved by contacting their institution's representatives to share public safety ideas and some of their concerns, or they could do that through our website. As for grant funding, the department has applied for $3.87 million in grant funding since my appointment to this position in February of 2019. And as of August of this year, the department has been the recipient of $838,765 in awarded funding. This included the grant-funded LiveScan fingerprint machine, which is now operational at police headquarters and is available for use by all campus and community members through an appointment. It is a fact that motor vehicle crashes are one of the leading causes of death in the United States, and most crashes are preventable. In that vein, we are taking an active role in making our campuses safe through scheduled joining forces events, which are funded through grants. We aim to increase awareness for traffic safety and change risky behavior for our students, faculty, and staff, thereby preventing crashes and, I believe, saving lives. The department continues to take part in this grant-funded multi-jurisdictional law enforcement joining forces program that promotes statewide enforcement in areas of impaired or distracted driving, pedestrian safety, speeding, and seatbelt use. With the increase of on-campus activity since my last report and the return of special events, in particular to UNLV, but as well as CSN and Nevada State, the dispatch center has seen an increase of 15% in telephone calls to our central dispatch. with well over a billion transmissions last year to our dispatch center. However, even though we've seen this increase, police activity remains consistent with prior years, so we are not seeing any significant areas of particular concern. The department, with the support from the Chancellor and the presidents of UNLV, CSN, Nevada State, and DRI, continue to be a key partner with Clark County and the Southern Nevada Health District to support COVID-19 testing. I discussed this earlier in my presentation in the Health Sciences Committee, Subcommittee. So in this support of COVID-19 testing across the region, we are, NSHE operates four testing and or vaccination sites. CSN has temporary structures that have been established at their three main campuses dedicated to COVID testing and vaccination. As I said earlier, that they have accounted for more than 15,000 COVID tests and 4,300 additional COVID vaccinations for their campus in our community. Nevada State as well has partnered with Immunize Nevada and are operating pop-up vaccination clinics on their campuses. Also stated earlier, UNLV reopened the testing and vaccination site at the Stan Fulton Building, offering more than 10,000 COVID tests and an additional 1,000 vaccinations since the reopening. NSHE, through UNLV, CSN, Nevada State, and DRI, account for 23% of the available COVID-19 testing and vaccination services that are provided to the region. And we have, through this effort, we've provided more than 300,000 tests and more than 150 vaccinations to Southern Nevada since the onset of the pandemic through our NSHE institutions. As it relates to community outreach, the great men and women of my department have continued to provide safety trainings and self-defense courses during the COVID-19 pandemic by converting in-person presentations to a virtual format. As operations have returned to campus, we have taken part in several in-person training and orientation sessions across all the institutions that we serve in order to engage with new and returning students. I would ask you and our campuses to keep an eye on our events calendar and social media accounts for upcoming new events. For instance, connect with COPS. We have four that are scheduled, Popcorn with the Police, Oreos with an Officer, and of course, Chair, you brought up our canines, our recurring favorite, Meet the Canines. At the September 2020 security meeting, I made a presentation to this committee regarding the need to make changes within my profession. The ongoing racial injustices that we witnessed throughout our nation, in my opinion, must be confronted. It must be confronted in order to counter the narrative of distrust surrounding police agencies and their use of force. I believe that it is vital to bolster the collaborative relationships that are necessary for appropriate community policing, which is the foundation of what we do at University Police Services. Consistent, nationally publicized, excessive use of force arrests have emphasized to me the need to improve law enforcement training to ensure that we are utilizing best practices at every opportunity and during every public encounter. This ultimately builds trust and strengthens our community trust and support. Accountability, transparency, awareness, and communication must become an integral part of modern-day law enforcement operations. Shortly after that presentation in September of last year, UNLV President Whitfield put me in contact with the National De-Escalation Training Center in Detroit. VET Center provides research-based informed de-escalation training to various regions throughout the United States. And many of the police agencies utilize some form of defined de-escalation training, but there really remains a gap in the definition of de-escalation, in the definition of implementation. So after several discussions with the National De-escalation Training Center, I'm proud to announce to you and excited to inform you the University Police Services Southern Command was invited to house and become the regional de-escalation center, which will cover de-escalation training for the entire Western United States. This new Western Regional De-escalation Training Center seeks to address gaps by creating dynamic training within higher education research institutions. The program allows for efficient delivery of research-based, informed de-escalation tactics and training that will remain aligned with the best practices that we have found. With the support of the Southern Nevada Presidents and the Chancellor, and in partnership with the criminal justice programs at UNLV, Nevada State, and CSN, the department, in cooperation with the National Center, has applied for a $1.2 million grant with the Department of Justice, which will be used to build the foundation of the program, implement appropriate staffing, support travel requirements, introduce research efforts and effectiveness studies to execute the training protocol appropriately. The training program will actually utilize train-the-trainer frameworks rather than direct-to-officer model, which is more efficient, enables us to have a significantly larger impact throughout our profession. We anticipate reaching approximately 176 agencies over the course of the two-year grant period. In addition, the department has also been accepted into the ABLE project. The ABLE project is training for sworn law enforcement officers that prepares them to successfully intervene to prevent harm and create a law enforcement culture that supports peer intervention. We saw the failure of peer intervention in Minneapolis in 2019. The department's homeless outreach and proactive engagement, or HOPE unit, has begun a partnership with the School of Social Work at UNLV to incorporate grad students in need of practicum hours to respond to outreach calls for service when dealing with community members that are experiencing housing insecurities, mental illness, substance abuse, or alcohol abuse. These students will partner with HOPE unit officers and respond to calls for service, as well as be present at pre-planned outreach events. Finally, the department is in process of implementing the Brazos electronic and paperless system for e-citations, NHP 5 forms, and warnings in order to best meet the standards set forth in Senate Bill 236. In closing, the department continues to recruit for a variety of positions. We currently have 3 officers in field training. We have 3 officers attending a local police academy and are looking to fill 24 additional sworn police officer positions, as well as numerous dispatch and civilian positions throughout the department. That concludes my report. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them.
Thank you very much, Director Garcia. Are there any questions or comments?
I have.
DiCarlo?
Right here. Thank you, Chair McMichael. Adam, you said most accidents are preventable, but I just want you to know I had a complete turnaround on that statement when I worked in my corporate career at General Motors, and we embraced a program that was started by DuPont, and their mantra was all accidents are preventable, and it, I didn't believe it either, but after the training we went through and incorporating that mindset, it's amazing, and it would be worth looking into, because even for our institutions, it's incredible when you completely change your framework of how you see things, because I always thought an accident is what happened, but if you take the time to be trained and to completely drill down, it's just like the Titanic. When they finally figured that one out, it was the bolt. They tried to save money on the bolt, and they didn't go by the specifications, and once it got, you know, ran into that iceberg, then it weakened the structure. So all accidents are preventable. So thank you.
Thank you, Regent DiCarlo. I agree with you, number one. All accidents are avoidable. And you may have noted in my presentation, I didn't refer to them as an accident. An accident is different than a crash. So throughout the country, the verbiage that's used by law enforcement are crashes, not accidents, because accidents just happen. Crashes happen because somebody makes it happen. So thank you very much for your support.
We'll hear from Regent Brooks.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Garcia, I just want to congratulate you again on the Regional Training Center. And more importantly, I want to thank you, because during these times, I know that there is a heightened level of security based on the things that we have to discuss. And I have to tell you that your security implementations are so precise and professional. I appreciate the communication that you give to us as regents in terms of what may or may not happen based on a possible threat. More importantly, your officers are consummate professionals in the way that they treat us and work with us. And I'm thankful for you coming up to speak, because at least it gives me an opportunity to publicly say thank you very much. I appreciate all that you and your officers do.
Thank you, Regent Brooks.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair? Yeah. This is Patrick.
Yes, Regent.
This is Patrick. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sorry about what happened earlier. I'm going to second what Regent Brooks just said, and I'm so glad they have the new training center. And under Director Garcia's leadership, it would be outstanding, because yesterday I mentioned that I had visited with them, with the director, the police department. And I was really impressed with everything they have there, the professionalism. I did miss the canine units. None of them were there. They had all gone out somewhere, and that's a shame. But it's awesome what the police department is doing, and that they're looking to hire so many new people. I think it's great. And I can only say this, you have all my support. And I'd be happy to help in any way at all. I think your officers and you are very professional. Thank you so much for your service. Be safe out there.
Thank you, Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Do we have any questions or comments from Vice Chair Geddes?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
I will move on to agenda item number 5, NCHE Northern Command, and this is information only. And University of Nevada, Reno, President Sandoval will provide the introductions for Eric James.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair Geddes, members of the Security Committee, members of the Board, and distinguished guests. For the record, my name is Brian Sandoval, president of the University of Nevada, Reno. It gives me great pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to introduce the new Assistant Vice President and Director of University Police Services, Northern Command, Eric James. As you may all recall, Director Renwick began his well-earned retirement this past summer, which prompted a national search for his replacement. The search committee was co-chaired by WNC President Vince Solis, and President Solis, thank you for your assistance, and UNR Vice President Vic Redding, and included representatives from all of the Northern Command institutions, as well as participation from local law enforcement leaders. Through that process, Eric James was selected. Eric began his university police career with us in 2003 as a police officer after serving 11 years in the Marine Corps. He held the position of police services commander from 2009 to 2020 and deputy chief for the past year and a half. Eric started his new role on July 1. His position is responsible for coordinating safety and security activities at all of the Northern Nevada system of higher education campuses, including the University of Nevada, Reno and its satellite campuses, Truckee Meadows Community College, Western Nevada College, Desert Research Institute North, and Great Basin College and System Administration North. Among his many accomplishments, Eric has promoted workplace safety, sexual assault prevention, education on the dangers of underage drinking, and critical incident response. In 2005, he began teaching women's rape aggression defense to students, faculty, staff, and the Reno community. In 2017, he established drop-in classes for Girls on Guard, another women's self-defense course. So, Director James, it does give me great pleasure to introduce you to the board, and really appreciative and grateful of your commitment and dedication to all the people who are on our respective campuses throughout Northern Nevada. And just finally, Mr. Chair, with your permission, because I may not have another opportunity to do this, on the eve of 9/11, I just wanted to thank the men and women of the military, as well as first responders, for their service to our country. Director James.
Thank you, President Sam. Can everyone hear me down there? Take that as a yes. Chair, everyone who is present down there, hello, my name is Eric James. I am the Director of Police Services here up here in Northern Command. With that, if I could get the PowerPoint up, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you. So this is just a security committee update for our University Police Services here at Northern Command. Next slide, please. All right, so first thing I want to do is congratulate Todd Renwick. You stole my thunder, President Sandoval. Congratulate Todd Renwick on his retirement. Very much a mentor of mine throughout the years, and he did start his retirement on July 1st. There's many, many years and great work here, and I know that he's enjoying it because if you see that picture up on top, he's already grown a beard, and it's only been about 3 months. So congratulations to him. Next slide, please. So some of our department initiatives that we've been working on for the past, since the last Regents Board meeting, is our Officer Health and Wellness Program. We have established a great health and wellness program through our partners over at HR and with the specialty health here up here in Northern Nevada, where we're actually allowing our officers, they're hitting the gym, they're getting fitter, they're getting the blood work back, and then we're taking a look to see where they are. The average police officer dies 5 to 7 years after retirement, and that's just a stat that I go to bed at night worrying about. And so we've established this fantastic program that's allowing our officers to get fitter. But there's a few key portions to this. Number one, the officers get to obviously participate in health and wellness, but also they're at the gyms and the fitness centers where every single student is. And so not only are they working out, but they're also working out with students. Yesterday, I had 10 people working out with me. We're all students, and it was absolutely amazing to have all these students just working out together. And so that's a great program we have going on. Secondly, peer support continues to be robust and active. We have two members of our peer support team, and we'll get into it a little bit more in the presentation, but they continue to provide services of peer support to our officers, other agencies, REMSA, our local ambulance, service as well as the fire department. And they do a great job of walking individuals through any type of high stress situation, because the average person goes through 1.5 to 2 critical incidents in their entire life. And officers go through about 800 in their entire career. And I think that's one thing as we continue to move forward, there's peer support and mental health awareness for officers that we are taking very seriously. Looking down, we have supervisor development. All the way down from myself down, myself and Deputy Chief Josh Reynolds, we are taking a phenomenal class through HR, through Tim McFarling, for more supervisor development. We also have supervisor development with our executive staff, as well as our first-line supervisors and officers. I truly believe that our next set of officers coming up through the ranks are going to be the chief of police one day, and it's our job to educate them to take our jobs and to do our jobs successfully. And with that, education, training, but knowledge. Knowledge is where we make our money. And so something is innocuous as a book club. I have a book club that I give out, and we read books, and then we sit down and we talk about them. And they're great books, stuff from Dr. Viktor Frankl or things from Daniel Pink. So we're not just talking police. We're talking development of supervisors, because organizational structure and culture are the most important things that we have going on for us. And then lastly, going into that organizational culture is rowing the boat. Rowing the boat is a concept that was brought up by PJ Fleck from the Minnesota Gophers football team. And so this last retreat that we have, where we gave away our awards and have an opportunity for all of us to sit down together and really go through the year and provide feedback to each other in a couple very key areas. One of the things that I rolled out was rowing the boat. And rowing the boat is nothing more than us getting in the boat as a family, as a team, and rowing it. We don't know what's coming in front of us, because we can't look to the front. We can only look to the back. That's our boat. Our ore, that's where all of our energy comes from. And so every day coming in and doing our job, doing it well, and serving the men and women of not only the University of Nevada, Reno, but of all of Northern Nevada, our students, faculty, and staff. And then lastly is the compass. I like to think of this as a moral compass. We are tasked with the public and with the trust of the public, much like Director Garcia was saying. And so I believe that that compass is a moral compass that sets us forward. And so we have a little saying, as you run, walk down the hall, someone might yell, row the boat, and people yell, row the boat back. So everyone has signed an oar, giving their commitment to everyone, students, faculty, and staff. And I think that is absolutely amazing. I'm so very proud of them. Next slide, please. Kind of moving through each one of our institutions. In October, Officer Rick Gruber will be the resident officer out at Elko at Great Basin College. He has sold his home. He's purchased a new home out there in Elko, and he is ready to go. With that, he said there's something that we can do to help. So he put together a fundraiser here with the officers, and we did a really good job of raising some money for them. And so he donated that money to the food pantry in July, and they were very, very thankful of it. Our community service officers across the board, so all the way down from WNC all the way out to GBC, will be transitioning in the same uniform. So all Northern Nevada and NC institutions will all look the same. This will be so everyone's easily recognizable, because we have off the security officers from WNC. They come up here, and also we're going to be doing some more work, with Sonia and her great team out there at GBC, coming out here and doing some ride-alongs and training with them. And then that last bullet point where we talk about the training. Our training department does a fantastic job here with our block training, and in the process of developing a standard training module for all the CSOs. So they aren't just getting training to keep them in their training mode or compliant. We're enhancing that training because it's so important for them to understand they are a direct representative of the department, of me, of all the presidents, and everyone. And so they understand their service better, their servanthood to each one of their members that they serve. And so understanding that they are part of the team, they aren't some off to the side, they are part of that team, and giving them better training is where we're going with it. Next slide, please. University of Nevada, Reno. So we still have 2 officers dedicated to work collaboratively with the Reno Police Department, Sparks Police Department, Washington County Sheriff's Office, to increase that outreach to handling those individuals who are experiencing homelessness. And they have done an amazing job. I know I keep the presidents up here up to speed, and I know probably sometimes they're tired of hearing about it, but darn it, they do a great job of getting out there and treating people like human beings, not just moving them around, but actually having and solving problems. The idea that we're just moving people from one place to another doesn't do anything, but they actually go out and solve problems, and I'm very proud of the work that they've done. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force within the department. They continue to meet every month with Dr. Eloisa Gordon-Mora at Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and they're doing a fantastic job of getting in and really figuring out what are some of those issues that DE&I face with policing. And the number one thing that we've come up with is humanizing the badge. When officers go out, people just see a uniform. And what we want people to understand that we are just as human as everybody else. And I think with the work that they're doing is going to pay off tenfold through the long term. I often say this, and I'll keep saying it till the day I die. Our officers are embedded with everyone. We are in classes with them. We teach classes with them. We're in the community with them. We eat with them. We have coffee with them. We're always out in the public. And so part of this is, how do we humanize the badge? And then lastly, a partnership with our undergraduate research. We did have a community-based research award. And this award was in helping conduct research that regarding why is there a negative perception of overall safety at the University of Nevada, Reno campus when crime and data shows otherwise. And this is something that my former chief, Todd Remick, had done. And so we have kind of reaped the benefits of it. So next slide, please, and you'll see the graphic that's up there. So we look at this and say 78% of individuals who responded had a very positive or positive interactions with the police officers. 8% had a negative or very negative interaction with police officers. And so when I look at this, I see the overwhelming is positive, but that 8%, that is the 8% that we are focused on. We want to make sure that every member of the public, every member that is a student, faculty, and staff at any one of our campuses in Northern Nevada are comfortable with their officers. And so we do spend time trying to get in and work with other affinity groups to show them we're just like everybody else. And we have been very successful at that. I'm very proud of the work that the men and women have done here. Next slide, please. So, Truckee Meadows Community College. We continue to provide active assailant training to the cabinet team via Zoom, obviously with COVID going on, and a separate training for the TMCC community also via Zoom due to those safety protocols. And then we also are part of that TMCC COVID-19 crisis management team. Lieutenant Galicia sits on that. And that photo down that lower left-hand corner is when we just had donated $400 to the Veterans Club. I'm sorry, the Veterans Center up at TMCC. They have a very robust Veterans Center. They're a great group of men and women. And so that money is going to help them, whether it's buy a new couch or buy a new TV, to help out our vets who are up on campus up there at TMCC. Next slide, please. Western Nevada College. Sergeant Nero and Officer Adam Wilson have been really working hard with the administration down there at WNC. And we're hoping that we will commence in January providing college students and other public members who want a career as a peace officer by establishing a part-time Category 1 academy. And it's something that I know Dr. Solis is very passionate about. They have been doing a lot of work with it, and so we're really hoping that spring semester coming up that we're going to be able to roll this out and start getting those who want to be a peace officer, not having to be affiliated with a police department, but they can put themselves through, get the certification, then get hired by an agency, which certainly makes them more marketable once they get out there. Next slide, please. So our community initiatives, we continue to host social work interns from the School of Medicine. This year is Minrod. She comes to us. She just started a few weeks ago. She is passionate about what she does. She's an amazing individual. She's going out with the officers. And anytime there's a call where there might be some type of individual in distress, she is assisting using her training as that social work person to get in there. We all know that there are jobs that the peace officers get tasked to do that is not police oriented. This is a great lifeline and bridge between those two things. Where she goes in, she helps us solve the problem, and we all learn from each other. So it's a phenomenal program that's going very well. The Nevada Jewish Federation held a lunch for us a few weeks ago. Addie and her team are absolutely amazing, and we continue to do great things with the Jewish Federation. We're hoping in October to get the Anti-Defamation League here to the university to provide training for our students, faculty, and staff as well. We continue to provide workplace violence presentations. The department also provided de-escalation training, something that's a little unique that we've rolled out with some of our ICAT members as part of a de-escalation training for the UNR Student Services Division, the WNC Civilian Staff and Disability Resource here during the summertime with DERC. And it's a great program because it offers people the opportunity to learn about de-escalation techniques on their own for them, not just for police, but for them to help them in those type of situations where they may need it. Our executive staff member co-chairs the Diversity Summit Committee and the Equity and Inclusion Subcommittee. And I'll tell you that our equity conference this year had over 2,000 people show up to it, which was just amazing. It was virtual, and Dr. Gordon Moore and her team are just so phenomenal with everything that they did getting the speakers. And we had over 2,000 people show up today. It was absolutely phenomenal. I was just so proud of that. Officers continue to teach at the brand new, yeah, I shouldn't say brand new now, it's 4 years old, the EO Weekend Fitness Center for PX drop-in for CrossFit, RAD, Girls on Guard, and a whole host of other things. And then just recently, John Pratt from the Veterans Center came to me and asked if I'd help collaborate an effort in assisting veterans at the University of Adirondack. And I said, absolutely. And so we're meeting to see how we can assist some of our veterans, and not just student veterans, but also staff and faculty veterans that may be here that may need some support resources, or quite honestly, just someone to talk to. Being a vet myself, I understand that there's a relationship that's built just based on the fact that you're a vet. And I think this is going to be a fantastic program that John has come up with. Next slide, please. Orientation at NevadaFit. NevadaFit was very exciting this year. So we actually taught a blended self-defense class, which went over very well with men and women. Normally we just focus on the female side of it, but we blended it and taught a new style of self-defense that's kind of unique. We participated in the iPad initiative, kind of handing out iPads. We conducted safety training. And then I spoke to over 500 mentors for the NevadaFit program. Just phenomenal students coming in to help out, and really, again, being embedded with our community is one of the most important things that we do. Next slide, please. We talked about peer support, critical incident stress management, or CISM. We have a very robust team that assists countywide. They've helped not only us personally, but also the families, family members, RPD personnel, Washoe County personnel and family. Washoe County had two officer suicides this year thus far, and it just really puts it to the forefront. And then also multiple REMSA, dispatch, fire, and medical examiners, office personnel too. There are some times that we forget about dispatch, our colleagues, our partners who are sending us to calls. And so we reach out to them and we assist them, fire and medical examiners as well. And they are so good at what they do. To see them interact with individuals, it's absolutely amazing, the compassion and empathy that they show for people. And it's such a just a phenomenal program. I can't speak highly about it enough. Next slide, please. Canines. We have SAPA up there in the upper left-hand corner with Officer Wasser and President Sandoval. And then down below, you see we are part of the consolidated bomb team throughout the entire region here. And so this was one of the times where they were down at, up in Lake Tahoe doing a sweep up there. So really what we look at is proactive and precautionary sweeps like they did this morning, that they've done every morning in here for the Board of Regents meeting, evidence researches, and then incident response searches. And then since January of this year, they've participated in over 100 above-reference searches, those three type, making up the proactive bulk of it. Last year, even with COVID, they did almost 3,000 services where they provided the canines for all of Northern Nevada. And so this team, we can lean on them and count on them anytime to come help us out. They help us out with every one of our major events, and they're just great at what they do. Plus, everybody loves dogs, so we thought we'd throw that in there. Next slide, please. And then we have our Cleary compliance. We continue to send out COVID notifications. Some of you probably noticed that the TMCC, one of their satellite campuses, that went out yesterday, because we are required to do that for each campus at the beginning of each semester. And then currently in the process of preparing the annual security report for UNR, TMCC, GBC, WNC. And so Tara Aquafangata, our compliance officer, does an amazing job with that. And with that, hopefully in the next 6 months, we actually hope to also set up a type of a Cleary working group that's going to discuss issues, because when you really dive into Cleary, there's not a clear understanding of it. And the problem is, when the Department of Education comes in, those fines that are assessed for it are astronomical. So we want to make sure that everyone who is a reporting member of this understands what their roles are within Cleary. Next slide, please. And then we had Yoshi was an amazing young lady. Dean's Future Scholar Program, she, starting this year, we started something new. She came into us as part of the Dean's Future Scholar Program, which she's been involved with since sixth grade. Now an incoming freshman here, and the purpose of the intern was kind of get a better understanding of law enforcement and the different positions and the roles that are necessary in the police department. And so she spent approximately 12 hours a week with us and attended summer school, and the full term of her internship was about 100 hours paid for by the Dean Future Scholars Program. She came in not knowing, I had a really great conversation with her, but she came in not knowing anything about police. And then when we asked her, what are your thoughts on it, she just literally looked at me and said, I didn't know you guys were human. And it was sort of one of those things where, yes, when you spend time with us, you realize we laugh, we joke, we cry, we celebrate just like everybody else. And so she was a phenomenal member, and I've asked her to go back and then get us more Dean Future Scholars, because it's a great program to really build that bridge between our community. Next slide, please. And then lastly, we have our HEAT team, Human Exploitation and Trafficking Team. Seeking Arrangements, the website specifically designed as a companion website. However, it shows that UNR is one of the fastest growing users, sitting at 25th in the nation. And so we have an officer that works with the Reno Police Department and the Washoe County Sheriff's Office, working together collaboratively to set up things to make sure that we're helping our students. So the online platform is for escorts, and many students are taking part in these activities to obtain money for tuition, books, room board, travel, accessories, and cosmetics. And so a couple of our officers, Lauren Reed, who's an amazing victim advocate, and Officer Seifert, they are going in and showing, they call it pedicure with the police, and they go in and show the young ladies how to do pedicures. And it may seem silly, but the opportunity there to talk to those young ladies about the dangers of what actually happens is an amazing opportunity that really, again, bridges that gap. And so Officer Seifert took part in a sting operation which netted over 30 men offering money in return for sexual favors in an eight-hour period, an eight-hour period. Some even claim to be part of the UNR staff as teaching assistant, student, et cetera. We are continuing, and she is continuing to work with the HEAT team to create those educational emails and training to send to faculty and staff so they can start to help identify what that looks like. And then she's working with our victim advocate, Lauren Reed, and participating with sororities to hold educational events to bring awareness and provide resources to those young ladies who need them. And then once the program's up and running, we're going to be expanding that to WNC, GBC, and TMCC, because we know that those individuals at those campuses are probably seeing the same things. And so we want to get it up and running and then push it off from there. Next slide, please. And with that, does anyone have any questions that I might answer? I appreciate everyone's time today.
Any questions? Any comments?
Chair McMichael, this is Chancellor Rose. If I might offer a quick comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for the record, Melody Rose, Chancellor. I just wanted to offer my deep gratitude to both Director Garcia and Chief James. The three of us, along with Chief General Counsel Joe Reynolds, convened in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and at my request, I asked both gentlemen if they would help us think through our security planning and system administration and for the board, and I couldn't have been happier with their response and collaboration. And due to their quick work, we've been able to offer active assailant training for all system admin and SES employees, as well as our Board of Regents. And I'm just deeply indebted to both of those individuals and their ethic around caring for our communities and relationship building. It's a true pleasure to work with both. Thank you.
And I would like to thank Director James for that most informative presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll press on to agenda item number 7, agenda item number 6, NCHI cybersecurity. This is information only, and this will be from NCHI's Chief Information Security Officer, Teresa Simmons. Are you there?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair McMichael, committee members, and Chancellor Rose. For the record, I'm Teresa Simmons, NC Chief Information Security Officer. The overarching goal of the NC Information Security Office is to build NC's cyber posture into one of resilience, flexibility, and strength. Being diligent about this prepares us to withstand unexpected crises such as the global pandemic. Projects completed and ongoing focus on the areas of governance, prevention, testing, and monitoring. Institutions partner together to review and update information security guidelines to adopt and use according to their needs. Two examples of such guidelines were the patch and vulnerability management ones. The Board of Regents adopted the National Institute of Standards and Technology Cybersecurity Framework as a standard for cybersecurity controls for the NC institutions. The institutions are collaboratively developing common language for use when aligning their institutional needs to conform to the framework. Other effective prevention measures are ongoing education and training. Recently, the institutions participated in a two-day Wren-ISAC blended threat workshop. The workshop focused on responding to a ransomware attack. Incident tabletop exercises will be conducted soon. In terms of testing and monitoring, institutions conduct regular vulnerability scanning to ensure that their systems are secure and up to date with patches. Additionally, SCS contracted with a vendor to perform an external penetration test against the NC network. Results of the testing demonstrate that the network is properly protected. As I've shared with you, the NC institutions are diligent in their efforts to protect NC information systems and data. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to provide these updates to the committee. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes, I have one question. This is Chair McMichael. How many cyber attacks does NC receive in a 24-hour period?
For the record, Teresa Simmons. That's an interesting question, and we are constantly bombarded with attacks and attempts. And we have security mechanisms in place to prevent those. So as to an exact count, I do not have that, but I will happy to go back to the team and get that for you.
And I'm very pleased that your diligence in making sure that these attacks are promptly adhered to. And I wish you all the best in continuing to make the NC secure from cyber attacks. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Chair McMichael.
Any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to agenda item number 7, new business, information only. Do we have any new business? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 8, public comment, information only. Do we have any comment from ELCO?
There is none in ELCO.
Public comment from Reno?
There is none in Reno, Mr. Chair.
Public comment from Las Vegas. Hearing no public comment, this concludes the Security Committee meeting. We are now adjourned.